Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd's still a little bit under the weather, but I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. You can go to @TheGillReport, find links to some of the stories we're talking about today. Of course, you can always go to @ToddStarnes on Twitter as well. Find some of the links that Todd's commenting on. He may not be able to talk as much right now. He's still recovering, but he is still tweeting like a madman. As well, it's the usual thing. You know, Todd lets you know what he thinks, even when he's under the weather. So he's still in action, and I'm filling in for him today. You know, one of the challenges for a talk host is those days when there's just nothing going on. I mean, there's just no big news, and you really have to show your talent by creating something from nothing. And then there's other days when you get a out-of-control Manhattan prosecutor, politically partisan persecutor, who decides to indict Donald Trump on one of the thinnest cases in American history, particularly one targeting an American president. So Donald Trump gets indicted. The Democrats are all excited because they got what they wanted, an indictment of Donald Trump. They've tried every avenue. They've tried tax records. They've tried impeachments. And they got impeachments based upon what we now know were clearly bogus foundations of a dossier and a Russia hoax that we now know was bogus and false, of an insurrection that, well, really didn't happen, and Trump certainly didn't inspire it or encourage it. But, you know, they got their impeachments that if the Republicans in the House were doing their job, they've already rolled back those impeachments and eliminated them from the historical record. But the Democrats went after that. They're still going after him on other things. But all the times they thought they had him, they haven't had him. They still don't have him. They've got a partisan hack prosecutor in Manhattan trying to shoehorn a federal statute into a state action. And the state action at its best is a misdemeanor. But he's trying to glom on to what would be a federal felony that federal prosecutors declined to prosecute, that the FBI, that the Department of Justice said there's not a case here. And following similar patterns, when you had Hillary Clinton doing the same sort of thing, using funds to buy the Steele dossier and then hiding it as legal expenses, she didn't get indicted. She got fined by the Federal Election Commission. Donald Trump didn't even get fined. They investigated. They didn't even find Donald Trump for this alleged finance violation that this DA is now trying to shoehorn into a state case to prosecute federal law that is beyond his jurisdiction. But the Democrats got their win. They got headlines. Trump indicted. They got the mugshot coming, which is what they really want. One of the big questions, will Trump smile in his mugshot? Will he make it a glam photo? Will he smile in the mugshot? Should he smile in the mugshot? Should he look serious? Should he look angry at what's been done to him with this bogus prosecution by this hack prosecutor? And now it's, of course, been assigned to another judge in New York that is also an anti-Trumper. If this ever gets to trial, which I don't believe it actually will, can Donald Trump get a fair trial? A jury of his peers in a community that voted about 85% against him, the bluest of the blue in Manhattan, with a partisan DA, a partisan judge, and a partisan jury. The problem that Republicans have when trials get brought in Washington, D.C. is you've got a 90-95% Democrat area judging people that they already despise. That's really what you have with Trump. This will never go to trial. First of all, you have serious statute of limitations issues. You got a 2-year statute of limitations on this state case, and the federal case again has been pushed aside by federal authorities as not valid or not sufficient to get a conviction. Again, Trump didn't even get fined. Hillary Clinton got fined. She didn't get prosecuted, but she got fined for almost the exact same thing that Trump is being prosecuted for. And yet the mainstream media is going gaga over how great this is. The nitwits on The View are just cataclysmic in their joy and orgasmic in their love of the fact that Trump's been indicted. Again, there are going to be a lot of motions. The state court doesn't have jurisdiction. In Tennessee, for example, where we're broadcasting from Memphis, the district attorney in Memphis can't file a case prosecuting the violation of a law in Montana. Different jurisdictions. Same thing is true with state and federal, city and federal, city and state laws. And you've got this DA who ran as a Soros-funded candidate pushing forward to prosecute Donald Trump based on a thin state case and an even weaker connection to the federal alleged election law violations. Now, keep in mind, we haven't seen the actual indictment, but we do know that one of the attorneys for one of the key players, now keep in mind again that you've got Stormy Daniels, the supposed recipient of the hush money, a porn star, actually I wouldn't even say porn star, a porn performer, I'm not sure she was ever a star, a porn performer who has admitted repeatedly that she didn't actually sleep with Donald Trump. She owes Donald Trump $300,000 because the slander case involving her claims, she lost. She's having to pay his attorney's fees, $300,000. When was the last time you heard about a stripper having to pay the client? That by itself is historical. So you've got a woman who claimed that she had slept with Trump, then denied it, then repeatedly denied it, lost a slander case about her claims. So you've got a confirmed liar in Stormy Daniels, not to mention porn performer. Not sure that she's the most moral upstanding of citizens to believe. Got her as one of the key witnesses. And then you've got Michael Cohen, the adjudicated fraudulent, perjurious lawyer, who is the other key witness for D.A. Bragg. Also a liar, confirmed, proved. In fact, you've had Alan Dershowitz, one of the premier lawyers in the country, say that putting Cohen on the stand will be sufficient to disbar D.A. Bragg. Putting a known perjurer on the stand to testify to anything would be a violation of judicial ethics and certainly a violation of the prosecutorial obligations. I mean, that in itself would be prosecutorial misconduct if you put a known perjurer and a porn star perjurer to testify against someone with no real proof that they've done anything wrong other than the lies of the liars. And yet this is the case, the thinnest of cases, and you've got the Democrats all joyous in thinking this will keep Trump from running for president. The state case is a misdemeanor, not a felony. And again, the first step will be to deal with the statute of limitations because the case is too dead for too long to even be prosecuted. And second, whether a city DA, part of Manhattan, has the ability to bring and prosecute a federal jurisdiction case. He does not. And again, if you have legitimate judges in New York, which is another big question, is there a legitimate, fair-minded judge in New York that will look at the case and throw it out on those two bases before you even get to all the myriad of other motions that will come in a flurry to get this case pushed aside and denied? Legal scholars across the board, Democrats, Republicans, independents, are almost unanimous in saying this is a weak case, a poor case, and that the judgment of the DA in bringing it is clearly partisan and political. Well, we'll get your thoughts on it. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Does this help Trump? Does it hurt Trump? Is the case valid? Is this just another example of the injustice system that we now have in place in America, where you have two different standards, one for Democrats, one for Republicans, one for conservatives, one for liberals? Donald Trump responded almost immediately to the indictment. Where's Hunter Biden? You have actual evidence that Hunter Biden committed crimes, not the least of which are gun crimes. He bought a gun, claiming that he was not using drugs. That's a federal violation. It's clear. He illegally purchased the gun. That's a violation. That's a felony that carries a 15-year jail sentence. Why is Hunter not in jail? You got Democrats all clamoring for gun control legislation. Why not enforce the laws we have? Why not put Hunter Biden in jail for buying a gun illegally and lying on the federal form that it takes to buy the gun? Think there aren't two different standards of justice in America when the Biden crime syndicate is still walking free, still collecting money from China and others, while they're prosecuting Donald Trump for, at best, reporting financial dealings as a payment to lawyer rather than a payment to Stormy Daniels? And again, individuals, companies pay settlements all the time. Either they don't want to spend the legal fees that may be more than the cost of the defense, more than the cost of the liability if you're proven to be liable. Harassment cases get settled all the time. Don't need the bad press. Don't need the expense. Pay and it goes away. As a lawyer myself, I've encouraged clients constantly in the past. It's going to cost you more to defend this. It's going to get more publicity than you want. Pay the money and go away. Make it go away. Now, some will say, no, I'm going to stick to my guns. I want to prove I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you just saw that with the Gwyneth Paltrow case. She spent a fortune asking for a dollar in compensation to prove that her ski slope incident was not her fault. It was a matter of principle. And sometimes, if you got a lot of money, folks will say, no, I'm going to spend the money to prove my point. Others realize that if they settle, it may make them a bigger target because everybody's going to know you're a soft target that you're going to pay rather than defend. So there's arguments on both sides. But companies and individuals constantly settle cases. Bill Clinton paid about $800,000 to Paula Jones. He didn't get prosecuted. Hillary Clinton bought the Steele dossier and recorded it as a legal expense rather than buying the Steele dossier for the persecution and lies about Donald Trump to create the whole Russia hoax. She didn't get prosecuted. There's a double standard of justice. Do you think the American people see it, or are we still blind to it? 844-747-8868. We'll talk more about it. And Joe Biden had a comment in response to the Trump indictment. We'll share that with you when we come back for more of the Todd Starnes Show.
Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNES.
And welcome back. Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes. You can go to Todd's Twitter feed, at Todd Starnes, even though he's still a little under the weather. He is still tweeting up a storm. Or you can go to at The Gill Report, find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today. Of course, the big story, Donald Trump's indictment. Joe Biden had a very interesting response to the Trump indictment, as Joe Biden, like usual, really can't think of anything to say.
You're reacting to President Trump's indictment.
Are you worried this will further divide our country, the indictment?
I have no comment on that.
Mr. President.
Can you have possible protests in the wake of the indictment? No, I'm not going to talk about Trump's indictment.
Mr. President,
the charges
against Trump are politically motivated.
I have no comment on Trump.
No comment on Trump. Well, you have comments on Trump. The indictment, 844-747-8868. Let's go first to Carol down in Georgia, listening on WDUN. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Hey, just fine.
What do you think? Does this help or hurt Donald Trump's chances of getting the Republican nomination?
Well, it certainly rallies the troops. And it occurred to me earlier today, well, probably last night, because I was so shocked, but this is actually another day of infamy. And it might have the same effect.
It is certainly an indication of how far our justice system has become an injustice system. And I think, you know, you're already starting to see, Carol, that Americans on both sides of the political aisle are recognizing that this is not really about Donald Trump. This is about whether or not we have a justice system that has credibility, whether or not we can trust prosecutors, judges, the entire system. We've already seen the weaponization of the FBI and other federal agencies against their political enemies. And now you have a presidential candidate being indicted by a partisan political hack DA in New York. I would agree with you. It's a day of infamy, and I don't think we know the shockwaves and the reverberations that it will create long term.
No, it's, you know, if we lose this, we lose just about everything.
When you look at how Trump should respond,
I don't think we're going to. I think we're going to win, but it's so scary.
You know, they're talking about trying to do an order from the court to keep Trump from responding. Will that make things look even worse if they're silencing Trump and preventing him from defending himself in the court of public opinion while he's having to defend himself in this partisan court?
They think they can treat him, I guess, like they've treated the January 6th people. Just shut him up and put him in a jail and throw away the key.
And you've got Nancy Pelosi showing how the Democrats view the justice system, as she made her comment yesterday that Trump should not be above the law. He'll have an opportunity to go to court to, quote, prove his innocence. That is a complete perversion of our American justice system. You are innocent until proven guilty. And when the Speaker of the House, as a leading Democrat, basically says the quiet part out loud, we treat Republicans and conservatives as you are guilty unless you prove you're innocent, which is a complete perversion of the system.
Complete. Well, she's the one that keeps, she and others talk about our democracy, which is not a democracy, but it's turning into one. It's turning into mob rule. You better keep your mouth shut or we will hurt you, that kind of thing.
And that's exactly what they're doing. Carol, thank you for your call. Thank you for listening in Georgia on WDUN. Jerry in Milwaukee, you're next if you want to join us with your comments, by the way, on Donald Trump and the indictment on the Todd Starnes Show, 844-747-8868. The Democrats seem joyous that this is going to hurt Trump politically. I think it guarantees his nomination and may guarantee that he gets elected back to the White House. Jerry in Milwaukee, what do you think?
Well, I don't like Trump, but I don't think he necessarily is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and I wouldn't have brought this indictment. That said, Trump isn't like a pure innocent in this. He probably falsified business records. He probably did the payoff to help his campaign. So he probably did have sex with Stormy Daniels, and he has a history of adultery. His second wife, he had an affair with while he was still married with his first wife, his second wife, Marla Maples. So it's in his character. So is he guilty of a crime? Not necessarily, but if he's being made out as this pure guy who did absolutely nothing wrong, no. I mean, he paid her off to probably help his campaign, and he falsified things as a business record. Does that mean it's necessarily a crime? No. I wouldn't have brought the indictment, but he's not pure and innocent.
Well, nobody has to prove that they're pure and innocent in a court of law or in the court of public opinion. You talk about he's not moral. Do we believe Stormy Daniels when she said she had sex with him or when she's repeatedly said she didn't and she was just looking for money? Which Stormy Daniels story do you want to believe?
Well, yeah, she said something. She wrote a statement and she said she felt pressured to do that because Trump would sue her. So you could say she was not truthful in that one regard. But every other statement she made, and I don't trust Trump for anything.
And then it did go to court.
I don't know why
it did go to court and she lost and she owes Donald Trump $300,000 for lying. We'll talk more about it when we come back with the top. Hey, welcome back. This is the Todd Starn Show. Feel free to join us on the phone line at 844-747-8868. Todd, still under the weather. Steve Gill here filling in for Todd. You can go to his Twitter account, at Todd Starnes, find some of his comments on the news and issues of the day. You can go to at The Gill Report, find some of my stories that are linked up there. The Trans Day of Vengeance that was slated for tomorrow to celebrate trans and to try to have more resistance and more apparently vengeance by transgenders has been canceled abruptly, citing safety concerns. Were the safety concerns about the transgenders or about them killing and murdering more Christian children? That, I guess that's the real issue that we should try to define and discern. Also, it is so sick that just a few days after three adults and three children are murdered by a transgender mentally ill woman, that Joe Biden is expressing his support for the transgender community. And by the way, his press secretary also speaking out, let's go to cut two, noting that the trans community is under attack.
And one of the things that we saw during the midterm elections is that people don't want their freedoms to be taken. They want us to fight for their freedoms. And so it is shameful, it is disturbing, and our hearts go out to the trans community as they are under attack right now.
Really, they're the ones under attack? What about that Christian school in Nashville where three adults, three nine-year-old kids, two little girls and a boy, were murdered with this trans wanting to do even more damage? Had the police not responded as quickly as they did, literally within minutes they were at the school, within a few minutes, she was down, taking the permanent dirt nap. And she had plans to do more. One of the little girls tried to pull the fire alarm to warn her fellow students. The trans activist pulled the fire alarm, hoping that kids would flood into the hallways where she'd have a target-rich environment. And yet it's the Biden administration, not expressing comfort and sympathy and concern for Christians who are under attack, actually under attack, but promoting the lie that somehow trans are being the targets. And in Tennessee, that's what's fomented a lot of this, banning transgender drag shows that include explicit sexual performances in front of young children. That gets portrayed as the national media as they're banning drag shows. No, they weren't doing anything to drag shows until you started doing these sexually explicit performances in front of children. How sick, how culturally depraved is the Biden administration when after the murder of innocent people by a trans, they're concerned that the trans are the victims. Sick. Beyond the ability to express it. New story of the day, Donald Trump getting indicted. Do you think this helps guarantee that Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee for president, maybe becomes president again, or do you think it actually hurts him, which is what the Democrats are hoping? Let's go to the phone calls. 844-747-8868, the number, and Bill in Cordova, Tennessee. You're next up on the Todd Starnes Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Glad to have you listening.
Yeah, I was calling that last caller you had before the break is so far off the mark with respect to Trump and the payment to Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen's attorney, and I hope that guy's still listening because he needs a wake-up call. Michael Cohen's attorney wrote a letter. It's on Facebook. I have actually saved that, saying that Trump had nothing to do with that payment, didn't know about it, didn't make any pay him back in any way, either through his personal funds or through the corporation. And Stormy Daniels in her book admitted that she had no affair with Donald Trump, that did not happen. These people are, their mind is set on stuff they've heard on mainstream media, and they really need to wake up and pay attention because they've got assumptions they're making about probably the greatest president we've ever had. And I think, based and to your next question, I think Trump's going to be president again. And I think this insured, I think the nomination was insured. I think he was going to have the nomination, but I think he's going to get elected now, as long as the Democrats don't cheat again like they did in 2020. And yes, I said that.
Well, it's interesting because the Trump team, the folks that I've talked to, they are really focused on ballot harvesting in this upcoming election. They're saying, look, we don't like the process. We don't like how that works. But if that's the rule, if that's how it's going to play, we're going to outplay them. We're going to do it better than them.
I agree.
We're going to go ballot harvest at churches and at gun shows. They've done the most they can do with only one side playing. We're going to play. And they barely won doing it without us playing on the other side. And I think the Trump people are going to go all in on ballot harvesting.
I think they should. If the states have legal options to do it, take advantage of it, because that's what the Democrats are doing. They're cheating through their teeth, and we're going to have to fight fire with fire. I hate to say it, but that's, you know, you can't take a, as somebody once said, you can't take a knife to a gunfight.
And again, you're playing by the rules. The laws have been set by the Democrats. They've set this up. We just need to get in the game.
Yep.
You know, I played basketball at Tennessee a long time ago. You had coaches, when the three-point line came in, they didn't really like it, and they were slow to adapt to it. If you were slow to adapt to it, you died. So if you're going to have a three-point line, you better start firing from outside.
Well said. Very well said. Couldn't have said it better.
Thanks, Bill. We appreciate your call. Let's go to John next from Kentucky. John, you're on the Todd Starnes Show.
How you doing, Mr. Gill? I just wanted to make a quick point. Maybe it's just paranoia, but you know what? Or a conspiracy theorist, but everything that we've been saying all these years has always found out it was true. I think something happened with that grand jury. They were supposed to go away for the month of April and was so closed. I really believe the district attorney's office put undue pressure on those jurors and he forced them to come up with an indictment. I don't know why, but maybe I'm just coming up with a paranoid thought or conspiracy thought, but it just seemed too convenient saying we're going to be dismissed for a month. And all of a sudden, they come up with the indictment. And to be absolutely truthful with you, I know he's not going to get a fair trial in New York. Also, the only thing I'm feeling right now in this country is you're getting a lot of ticked off Americans on both sides of the aisle, because this is absolutely ridiculous. This guy's George Soros funded, and I believe the jury has been tampered with, and there's no way the president is going to get a fair trial. And right now, we're teetering. You know, remember the old saying, Mr. Gill, that they used to have, you have the soapbox, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box? I'm really concerned it's getting to the point of the cartridge box, and I pray God I'm wrong, but I'll hang up and listen for your thoughts, and God bless you. And Mr. Starnes, if you're listening, get well fast, but you got some great replacement hosts here. They're always in the bullpen for you. Take care.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your call. And you're exactly right. First of all, we know that Cohen's attorney, advisor, went before the grand jury and pointed out all the documents that would have helped exonerate Trump have been withheld from the grand jury. That's prosecutorial misconduct at a massive level. And there's going to be documents that have been withheld from public view that, again, are going to support Trump's case. A prosecutor's job is not just to get the conviction. It's to pursue justice, and that means you've got to pursue both the good and the bad of your case. It's different than, you know, what a lot of other lawyers have to do. If you're defending your client, you have to do so with the most vigor you can. That is not necessarily the obligation for a prosecutor. There is also an obligation of fairness and justice, and that's not what D.A. Bragg is doing. We also know that one of the other legal advisors involved in this is saying that there is no direct evidence. There have been no emails or anything else showing Trump had direct knowledge of any of this. The only thing they're going to have is the testimony of Stormy Daniels, a proven liar, Michael Cohen, a proven convicted liar and fraudster, and somebody from the National Enquirer. Those are their witnesses, and there's no documentary evidence, according to one of the legal advisors for the prosecutor who went on TV and said they don't have documents. So it's going to be a he said, she said. How do you get to beyond a reasonable doubt with those circumstances? 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes today, and Pete in Iowa is next up. Pete, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I guess you touched a little bit earlier about Bill Clinton, but it really needed to be expanded. At that time, Clinton was president, and he molested a young female intern in the White House, in, you know, right there. And then afterwards, he was and swore an oath, and he lied that he didn't do anything. And then on top of that, there were prior cases where they said he molested her, you know, a woman. And all those different things, that was while he was president. And so to me, it's just blaming hypocrisy, like that couple or callers early where he said, oh, you know, Trump is a bad guy and all this. Well, that was before he was office. It wasn't in the White Office. And, you know, it's been proven that there's been lies. So it just seems like the media has to sell advertisements. And this is just, you know, a dog and pony show that they can sell more ads and have more eyeballs watching their, you know, back guano, you know, stuff. And one other thing is that Nancy Pelosi, right after the J6, she said that they defaced, and her quote was, the temple of democracy. Well, they think they're goddesses and gods, and this is their temple, and they can do whatever they want to. So
the only thing they worship is when they look in the mirror in the morning. They worship themselves. Pete, great points. And Bill Clinton paid, I think it was Paula Jones, about $868,000. He didn't get prosecuted for paying off that claim. He committed perjury, lied to federal judges, lied under oath, was not prosecuted, was not criminally prosecuted for that. We have a double standard of justice in this country. One rule of law for Democrats and liberals, one rule of law for conservatives and Republicans. And if we don't wake up to that and stop it now, we will never recover our country.
Right. And the media all were chiming in back then. It's a personal matter. You can't talk about it. It's a personal matter. Well, what's the double standard that there is?
Yeah, and the claim right that he was doing this payoff to Stormy Daniels to protect his campaign, you know, even those that were close to Trump were saying, look, he didn't want to go through the embarrassment and the potential hurt of his family. Again, Stormy Daniels said she didn't have sex with him in a book she wrote and published. So was she lying then, or is she lying when she says she had sex with him? Again, you've got known liars that are going to be the key to the prosecution's case, which should take it nowhere. Pete, we appreciate your call. We'll be back for more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment. If you want to join us with your comments, 844-747-8868. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back in. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes today. Todd is doing much better. He is out of the hospital. He's recovering quickly. He'll be back in full form, I'm sure, after the weekend. But in the meantime, I'm taking the helm for the Starnes Show. You can call in and join us at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And encourage you to join us with your thoughts on the Trump indictment. You know, it's interesting that this case has created some hysteria on the left, thinking, oh, this is great. We finally got Trump. We're going to, you know, keep him from being a presidential candidate again. There are others that are saying, oh, this guarantees he'll be the presidential candidate for the Republicans, and that's what we want. I would remind Democrats, that's what you were saying 6 years ago when you wanted Trump to be the nominee, because he'd be the easiest to beat. And all this has done is inflame Trump supporters. And I think a lot of people that weren't necessarily Trump supporters that are now going to be leaning towards Trump because they're seeing the injustice system at work, what the Democrats are doing as they pursue power at the stake of American independence and liberty and freedom for Americans. They're seeing what's happening. Now, again, have we woken up enough, to use the woke term, to what's happening that Americans will unify and say enough is enough to what the Democrats and the liberals are doing across the board? That remains to be seen. Question I have. Should Republicans unify around Donald Trump? Has that process already begun? Have we already begun to see that? And that Trump will be the Republican nominee and that this just guaranteed it? I mean, MAGA supporters of Donald Trump were already willing to crawl against cracked glass on hot asphalt in August to support Donald Trump. We just saw another 15, 20,000 person rally in the middle of nowhere in Texas, in Waco, Texas, before this happened. Is this also going to move other moderate Republicans who may say, look, I'm not the biggest Trump fan personally, but I love his policies, and this is just wrong. We're all MAGA Republicans now. If you're Ron DeSantis, you're already seeing your poll numbers start to slip. Is it in his best interest to run against Trump in a primary this cycle, knowing that if he wins, Trump supporters may not support him, may stay home and cost him the presidency? If he loses, Trump may win and still be vindictive. His supporters may be vindictive 4 years from now when Trump doesn't run for re-election in an open seat situation. Do you want to alienate the Trump voters and not be able to get them back either if you win the primary or 4 years from now? I think for Ron DeSantis, this is a pivotal moment. Now, he came out yesterday and said, look, we're not going to participate in this sham prosecution. We will not, as Florida, cooperate in extraditing President Trump from Mar-a-Lago to New York to answer to these charges. Now, I think President Trump wants to answer to these charges. I think he wants to have his mugshot everywhere. I think he wants to be able to talk to the reporters on the steps of the courthouse and tell his story repeatedly and loudly. I was doing an interview with the BBC the other day, and one of their hosts asked, will Trump play to the cameras? I said, that has to be a rhetorical question. Of course Trump will play to the cameras. That's who he is. That's what he'll do. Now, the Democrats are going to try to silence him. They're going to try to put a gag order on him to keep him from talking about this case. I'm not sure that will hold muster, and frankly, Trump may be more likely to suffer contempt of court charges than obeying any court order to keep silent. But should Ron DeSantis sack the bat, say, I'm a Trump guy now, we should all be Trump guys, and everybody unify around President Trump? Or should he wait a month or so and see how this plays out? He can still say, look, I'm not even in until after I finish my legislative session. He can buy some time. But the fact is, no Republican potential candidate for president right now is going to be able to talk about anything other than the Trump indictment. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. What advice would you give to Ron DeSantis or to Rick Scott or Senator Tim Scott over in South Carolina or anybody else that's thinking about running for president? Should they back Trump and back out of their presidential ambitions for this cycle? Let's go to the phone lines. And John in South Carolina, you're next on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome in.
Hey, thank you. Listen, I was saying earlier, I'm not Democratic or Republican, but the American people better wake up, because if they can do this to Donald Trump, you got Pelosi. Let's remember when Pelosi, when COVID was going on, they were selling her at home for $24,000 worth of signature ice cream while America's starving. You had COVID to come out, China shot that over to the United States, but then all of a sudden, you got to remember the opioids.
And telling us all along the economy is doing better than we're feeling, better than we're experiencing. Hey, when we come back, Congressman Barry Moore from Alabama joins us with his thoughts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. You can find Todd's comments at his Twitter feed, at Todd Starnes. You can find my comments and news stories at The Gill Report. And encourage you to join us on the phone lines at 844-747-8868. Of course, the big story of the day. Donald Trump indicted. The Democrats get what they've been wanting for so long. They get the headline, Trump indicted. Will they get the headline they really want, Trump found guilty? I don't think so. I mean, it's a weak case. It's a bogus partisan political hack job. And a guy who's familiar with partisan political hack prosecutions is Congressman Barry Moore, Republican from Alabama, the 2nd Congressional District, who is doing one of the most innovative things in a while, having experienced himself political persecution, where he was acquitted. He's now handing out ham sandwiches because an old adage is that a DA who's only presenting one side of the story to a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich if he wants. Barry, good to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, it's great to be on with you guys. We love the Todd Starn Show, and again, thanks for inviting us on.
By the way, you and I actually met several months ago at a Freedom Caucus reception, met you and your lovely wife, and enjoyed getting to know you then. And by the way, I went to Dale Rada Elementary School in first and second grade. My dad was an Air Force fighter pilot. Can you drive by the school and see, because I know it's in your district, have they ever put up that Steve Gill statue in front of it yet?
You know, if it is, it's a really small one, Steve, because I haven't been able to spot it
from the road. So you experienced the same thing Donald Trump is going through with a political partisan hack job attack on you. You were charged and later acquitted. What advice would you give to the president, having been through this yourself?
Well, you know, one thing, I want to encourage him, because after we were indicted, and then I'm in a Republican district, I'm in a primary, we had more people show up to knock doors for us after that process than we could ever round up before. And I think that just showed that the people in the district understood that it was politically motivated, and they refused to let the DOJ determine, or the prosecutor at that time, to determine that, hey, you're going to pick our candidate. And I want the president to know this as well. The American people see this for what it is, and I think it mobilizes his base. Actually, I think it'll end up uniting the Republican Party behind Trump, simply because he has said so many times, and we've seen it, that he was the only thing between them and us. And again, here he is, and they're trying to remove him so he can't run as president of the United States or can't be a candidate, our nominee, so that they can take him out. We see that stuff happen in communist countries. But I want the president to know, hey, we're behind you. You are not in this alone. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your toughness, because this is not easy on the families.
Now, you're actually handing out ham sandwiches to underscore the fact that a DA who, again, an unfair DA can present just one side of the story. And we already know that with this DA in Manhattan, there are documents that have not been presented to the grand jury that would tend to exonerate President Trump. One of the lawyers for Michael Cohen has said and testified before the grand jury, apparently shocked them with all the documents that he was relaying to them that had not been shared by this corrupt DA to the grand jury making this decision. They can literally indict a ham sandwich if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, they get to tell one side of the story, and it reminds me of the old Matlock show, you know, when Matlock's client would be a defendant, and boy, it would look like there's no way around that the guy's guilty, and then Matlock would actually present the evidence and get him off. That's the situation here. And I think in addition to that, I think the bigger, more concerning issue is this DA ran saying he was going to arrest Donald Trump. So he's delivering on a campaign promise, which Democrats never do. But in this situation, he's doing it at the peril of what I think is the country and confidence of the American people in the justice system. And I say it backfires on them. I can't wait till November where people get to voice their opinion on what they think about this. Now, granted, he may win his little local election, but he'll cause a red wave and certainly, I think, allow President Trump to have the support unlike he's seen in history.
Well, and you have legitimate, credible lawyers like Alan Dershowitz and others saying that if he's going to rely on the testimony of two clearly perjured witnesses in Stormy Daniels, who has been proved a liar, she owes Donald Trump $300,000 for losing the slander case. She said she slept with him, then says she didn't, has written a book saying she didn't. And then you've got Michael Cohen, who actually went to jail for fraud and perjury. Dershowitz has said a DA that would put those witnesses on the stand should be disbarred.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. As I said on Judiciary Committee, we're certainly going to request that the DA appear before us because, you know, it's one thing to look for justice, but it's another thing for justice to be partially applied. And I think that's the concern. I mean, we saw that Hillary Clinton deleted, you know, she had bleach on her computer hard drives. She busted up cell phones with hammers while they were under subpoena. And then the whole time Joe Biden's running for president, the FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop and not a word, yet they're raiding Trump's closet. They impeach him twice. You know, they accuse him of Russian collusion. All of this stuff is beginning to fall on deaf ears. And again, I think that's why it just shows that this is politically motivated. And I think the American people are tired of this. And I think we'll see it in November.
Well, then Hillary Clinton, her campaign purchased the Steele dossier for about $138,000. Reported that as, quote, legal fees, the exact same thing that the DA is accusing Trump of doing. They didn't prosecute her. She paid an FEC fine. The FEC investigated this. Federal Election Commission investigated this with respect to Trump. The FBI investigated. The Department of Justice investigated. They all passed on it. The FEC didn't even fine him. And you had the previous DA in Manhattan pass on the case because he thought it was weak. And now you get his, this Soros DA, as you point out. Then he decides to do it for political advantage.
Absolutely. And I think that's the concern the American people have. And I think that's even no matter. And I said this earlier today. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, liberal, conservative, whatever your ideology is. You have to step back and look at this and see it for what it is, because it's a danger to the American people. It's a danger to our republic when you start putting people who are in the opposite political party in prison because they want to run against you. If it makes you wonder, what are they really afraid of? They fear Donald Trump because no man owns him. Nobody owns him. I think he stands for the American people. They're terrified that he's going to get back in office and actually represent the people again to make the country great again. And that goes against everything the left and Soros would like to see happen in the country.
And this time, perhaps, really clean out the swamp with a vengeance, where we've seen the weaponization of the FBI, the weaponization of the Department of Justice. I saw where James Comey made some comment about President Trump's indictment, again, revealing that this guy should have already been in jail himself. In the last couple of weeks, this was coming. As you've talked to your colleagues on the left, Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, did any of them admit privately, Congressman Moore, that this is wrong? Or are they just taking the same public stance privately as they're saying, oh, no, that we're going to, nobody's above the law, or as Nancy Pelosi says, President Trump has to now prove his innocence, reflecting that she is clueless about how the American justice system works.
Yeah, you know, I have friends, some on the other side of the aisle, and I haven't been here that long, but I hear rumblings that they're kind of concerned, especially as, you know, we begin to release the January 6th tapes, and that showed that a lot of the narrative didn't fit what the January 6th committee put out there. I think, in general, they're concerned about how the left keeps hijacking the party and trying to weaponize certain sectors of the government, especially the DOJ, the IRS, like you said, other agencies, to come after people with opposing viewpoints. And even the Dems, the libertarians within the party, they have to have a problem. They have to understand that this is not good for the country, the republic itself. No matter which ideology you have or don't have, they can see that liberty is at stake, and I think we're all kind of getting tired of it.
We've talked a little bit this morning about the ramifications, first for the Republican primary and then the general election. I think you mentioned that this tends to coalesce everybody behind President Trump. And Ron DeSantis has said, look, they're not going to cooperate with transferring President Trump to New York for any sort of a trial, that if he wants to go, show up on his own. But Florida's not going to cooperate with this sham prosecution. Should Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott and others that are starting the process of running for president in the Republican primary, is it time for them to, A, recognize perhaps reality that they can't beat him, and B, say it's time to all be Trump MAGA supporters because this is just so wrong?
Yeah, I think it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if they did that. And not because, you know, we just don't need the infighting. I think we have to come together and we have to, and we can all recognize it. Look, man, I was in the garbage business before I came to Congress, and I tell everybody that transition from garbage to politics is pretty easy to make. But I can see a pile of trash when I know a pile of trash when I see it, and that's what this is. And I think that we need to come out because it is so dangerous that we're going to let the opposing party try to put our nominee behind bars so he can't run. I mean, and no matter if you're DeSantis or Tim Scott or whoever you are, I think we have to recognize at this point in time, he is between us and them. We need to get behind him.
When you look at the general election, we saw with the midterms, you know, President Trump is extraordinarily popular and certainly was in the Republican primary. His candidates tended to win primaries, but they didn't win in the general election. There was a disconnect with a lot of suburban women, libertarians, young voters. How does Trump overcome that? That, you know, he's still going to have that challenge if he's the nominee going into 2024.
Well, you know, one of the things I tell everybody, the process that I went through, you know, the Lord says if you'll humble himself, if yourself before him, he will elevate you before man. And so, you know, I pray that President Trump gets to a point that maybe the Lord does a great work in his heart. I think that there's an opportunity here to heal the nation and to reach people that we haven't reached previously. I mean, think about it. For many, many years, minorities in communities have claimed that the justice system was weaponized against them. If they step back and look at this for what it is, they see that we're all in grave danger. If they can go after Donald Trump, they can go after us. And so, you know, we'll see. But, you know, we need to pray for the president. But the process, I would not be here today had not been through that process in 2014. So, you know, the Lord will break you to make you to shape you. And sometimes you go through some tough times, but I just want the president and his family to know that we're praying for him. We're going to support him. And I think the American people will show up as well. And we'll have one heck of an election in November 24.
Well, one of the things that got you through it is your amazing spouse. And I know it's not the first time you've heard it. Man, you outkicked your coverage.
Brother, listen, the ham sandwiches were her idea. She's like, hey, let's hand them out. And no doubt, man, the Lord is, we're a great team. And she's a comms major, ran my campaign free of charge. That's how we were able to win with so little money. And one thing I want to mention to people that are paying attention, the speaker race and how that played out. The Republican conference up here in D.C., the members are 70% of us are new since Trump was elected. So there's a different move in the country. It's more about the American people and representing them and making this nation great again. And I think we need to continue to grow that movement, to get behind the president and push back against this weaponization and the attack on liberty that we so appreciate and enjoy. And sometimes I think, honestly, take for granted in this country.
Well, and sadly, some of the good things that you're doing on the House side, passing a reclamation of our energy independence, gets buried because of the stories this week. But I think eventually, by the time we get to Election Day, Democrats are having to cast really bad votes in the House. They're going to have to cast really bad votes in the Senate and then answer to the American people in November of 2024.
That's right, my friend. And again, I tell everybody, just pay attention to the map, because I think you'll see a shift. I think people are going to rally behind the president. They're going to rally behind the ideas. They know. I mean, we see the country's broken, whether it's the border, whether it's inflation, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's China, or even Russia knocking our drones down. We understand that the country has problems, and we need a strong leader. And I appreciate Trump for being so strong. That's why they don't want him here, brother, because he don't owe nobody nothing but this country and the American people. And I think he's going to do a great job when we get him here.
Congressman, great to catch up with you. Congressman Barry Moore, 2nd District, Alabama, representing Montgomery and the area around there. And we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, Steve.
This is the Todd Starnes Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get more of your calls and comments about the Trump indictment and the embrace of transgender activism by Joe Biden just days after a transgender activist murders children and adults at Covenant School in Nashville. You've got them aligning and claiming that the transgenders are the victims rather than these 6 innocent people who were gunned down by this murderous evil. Talk about a disconnect or a cultural embrace of the wrong side. We'll talk more about that. Get your thoughts on that and more at 844-747-8868. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd. He's a little bit under the weather still, but should be back next week. In the meantime, if you want to join us on the phones, feel free to share your comments about the Trump indictment, the continued embrace of the transgender community by the Biden administration in the wake of Christian children being murdered by a transgender. They're not showing sympathy or concern about the children or the attack on a Christian church school. They're showing concern and fear that transgenders are under attack. Really, where are all the transgenders that have been gunned down by violent heterosexuals? It's not happening. You've had several mass shootings by non-binary transgenders. And just this week, you had a scheduled day of vengeance by transgenders. People wearing their T-shirts with AR-15s on the shirt saying, if you hurt our kids, we'll kill yours. They were going to have their transgender day of vengeance on April 1st, tomorrow. It's now been suddenly canceled because of security concerns. The people who should have security concerns are the Christian churches, the Christian schools, where more have died and been at risk of transgenders than transgenders being at risk from people trying to target them. The misrepresentation of the transgender legislation in Tennessee and other states is ridiculous, and it is fomenting more division as they hold up transgenders as the real victims when these little children and innocent adults were the ones gunned down. And the carnage would have been much worse if the police in Metro Nashville had not responded as quickly as they did, as efficiently and effectively as they did. This transgender shooter had a lot more in mind than a death toll of 6. Fortunately, she was taken out before she could accomplish her aims. You're going to join us on the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Coming up in the next hour, by the way, we're going to talk with the Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton. Yesterday, you had three legislators, progressive, liberal, extremist legislators in the Tennessee State House, lead an insurrection in the House, calling on people to invade the House chamber violently. There were assaults, people pushing and shoving legislators, spitting on them. No arrest. Should these three legislators who were brandishing a bullhorn and exhorting the crowd to an insurrection, to violence, to a protest, no justice, no peace, no action, no peace, doing much more than President Trump did on January 6th that has led to a year of hearings and people being incarcerated for a year without bail? Why haven't there been arrests of those that tried to enter the Capitol chamber illegally? Why aren't these three legislators who were fomenting this insurrection, why haven't they been arrested? Why haven't they been removed from the legislature? Why haven't they been expelled? We're going to ask the House Speaker, Cameron Sexton, about that when he joins us at the top of the next hour. Also in the last hour, we'll talk with Liz Harrington. She's one of the Trump spokespersons. You know, how is President Trump handling this indictment? I mean, you know, publicly he's going to show that strong face. He's got a strong family with Melania, his sons, his daughter. He's going to show strength. But privately, he's got to be concerned. I mean, you know, the constant attacks have to wear on you at some point. It was great talking to Congressman Moore of Alabama, who was wrongly accused and acquitted for political purposes, partisan political hackery at work there. I think he's got great advice for President Trump. Hang firm and know that people still support you. And in fact, you're going to gain support. But again, the question we've been asking, is it time for other Republican candidates for president to step aside, back President Trump, and say, look, he's the guy. Now's the time to come together. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Bill filling in for Todd Starnes. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Of course, the big story of the day. Donald Trump indicted. Where will this head? What political implications will it have? Should Ron DeSantis and others step aside and say, look, I'm going to acknowledge reality. Trump was going to be hard to beat before. He's impossible to beat at this point. His supporters are more mobilized than ever. This case, any of the other cases, are not going to come to trial before the November elections, if they even move forward. There are going to be motions in this first case to dismiss based upon the statute of limitations, based upon the fact that a city DA in New York City doesn't have the capacity to pursue federal charges, doesn't have the jurisdiction. If there are any, that is a big if there are any legitimate judges, credible judges, fair justice-minded judges in New York, this case will get dismissed. Won't go very far. Motions will resolve this. Won't ever get to a jury. If it does get to a jury, the question is whether or not it's a jury of Trump's peers in a city that voted, 85% against him? And even if he's convicted, it's likely a misdemeanor. No jail time, no felony, no prevention of being president again if he gets reelected. But the bigger issue in the short term is a Republican primary still a viable contest for Ron DeSantis or Kristi Noem or Tim Scott or any of the others that are considering a run? Liz Cheney, who's clocking in at about 2% with a plus or minus margin of 2%. Now, she won't step aside. She wants to take on Trump. But Ron DeSantis needs to decide. Can he beat Trump? He's already lagging in the polls. This will be like a super shockwave for Trump to coalesce his supporters, bring new supporters to his side. Ron DeSantis was going to have a tough time anyway. Even though he's got the same policies as Trump, perhaps a better personality than Trump. But he was going to face challenges when Trump has a solid stranglehold on 35 to 40% of the Republican primary voters, and it may be a growing number at this point. Is it time for Republicans to say, Trump's the guy, and get behind him and focus on the real target, which is Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg or Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or whoever the Democrats end up putting up? I'm not convinced that Joe Biden will be their nominee. It's a day-to-day, week-to-week thing of whether he can maneuver a bowl of cereal and a spoon. But assuming Joe Biden's the nominee, isn't that the real focus? Shouldn't that be the real target? And to make sure Republicans expand control in the House and take control of the Senate, retake the White House in 2024. And then if Republicans want to show why the Democrats have been so dangerous, go prosecute former presidents like Obama and Biden and Bill Clinton. So look, the Justice Department can work both ways. Will Democrats, are there any wise Democrats, mature Democrats, who will step up and say, this is wrong? We asked Congressman Moore if privately some of them are expressing concerns. They aren't expressing concerns publicly. But are members of Congress who are on the Democrat side of the aisle recognizing that this is a true danger to our country when you have these political, partisan persecutions being done to dictate who's on the ballot? With especially such a weak case. And the other cases are weak too. The one in Georgia where you have the whack job grand jury foreman who was going out doing interviews, just giggling over the prospect of being able to swear in Donald Trump. Of whether or not he was trying to subvert the election by saying, there were election violations, there are ballots that have not been counted. Make sure you're counting all the ballots. It was a margin of about 20,000 votes. Is it an illegitimate call for a candidate to make to the person in charge of the election monitoring and counting to say, I don't think you're doing it fairly. Make sure you're doing it right. How's that a violation of the law? We've seen in Arizona where Carrie Lake is still pointing out that the election was stolen from her in Arizona. Ballots lost, ballots missing. Numbers of ballots counted that shouldn't have been counted. Challenging that is not illegal. What's illegal is the theft of elections that should be more closely monitored and prosecuted by those who steal elections, not by those who point it out. And then the whole Mar-a-Lago document thing. Trump was in negotiation, had the full authority to declassify any document that was in his possession. And yet, when you have Joe Biden, with documents springing up all over the place, no raid of Joe Biden's home, no rummaging through Jill Biden's underwear drawer, the disparate treatment of Republicans versus Democrats, liberals versus conservatives by the Justice Department at the state, federal, and local level is clear. Undeniable. The weaponization of our federal agencies, the FBI and Department of Justice and others, can't be denied. And this just clarifies that once again, Republicans are targets. So if we don't unify and say enough is enough, we're not going to tolerate it, and band together behind the target that they've been shooting at for 7 years, then we're all victims. We're all targets. As people point out, they're not coming after Trump. They're coming after us. He's just in the way. Is it time for DeSantis and others to back him? 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jeff in Georgia. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So, I tell you, I did vote for Trump both times. I do not prefer Trump's personality, but I do like his policies, foreign and domestic. And I always have felt that Trump is pro-American. He did his best to represent and do the best interest of American people. But knowing that he can only run one term, I prefer DeSantis in the 24 election until the indictment last night. Because whatever the Democrats obviously feel he is the most viable threat to them continuing the agenda that they're pushing, Trump is openly trying to stop what they are trying to turn our country into. And the sheer fact that they will go after him so hard on a case that is beyond the statute of limitations, anything and everything, pulling at straws just to prevent him from stopping them, there's a reason for that. And I don't care who they put forward, I'll vote for Trump for a third time from this point forward.
Do you think DeSantis, and I agree with you, I think DeSantis brings the same policies, but
yes,
not alienating suburban women voters, libertarian voters, younger voters as much as Trump's personality does. But is it time for DeSantis to say, look, I can't beat him in a primary. It was going to be hard before. I definitely can't beat him in the primary now. So let's come together now rather than have a slugfest until next March or April and then try to come together when there's been bad blood and animosity. Now we're kind of losing you with your call there, Jeff, but thank you for your call. I love DeSantis. The question is, for the next 4 years, he just got reelected, can he continue to be the greatest governor in America, show the way for all these other governors? My advice to most Republican governors, and it would be the advice to Democrat governors as well, have somebody on your staff wake up every morning and see what Ron DeSantis is doing and do the same thing. I mean, there should literally be a staffer. What is Ron DeSantis doing today? Let's do it. Then they'd all be doing a great job as governor. The question is, can Ron DeSantis beat Donald Trump in a primary now? Again, I think it was going to be a challenge before, but this is just supercharged MAGA supporters. And as some have pointed out, look, we're all MAGA voters now because it's all us versus them. And I don't just mean us versus the Democrats, us versus liberals. It's us versus the swamp, us versus the weaponized FBI, Department of Justice. You got to pick a side. And for Republicans to be fighting amongst ourselves, for conservatives to be challenging each other over small issues of disagreement versus recognizing that if Trump loses, if they can take down Donald Trump with this bogus prosecution, they can come after anybody. And we may never regain our country. Let's go to Tom in Oregon. Tom, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome in.
Hi there. Thank you. I'd like to say to Todd, ultra mega dittos, buddy, so get well.
He appreciates
and,
that.
Yeah, we're totally, the country is also wake up America. God, it's under total attack. If you can't see it from the border, from the colleges, the transgender, they're pushing the Jesus, everything, you know, they're trying to destroy the country. And if you can't see that, it's the socialism / communism / Marxism / Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has been taken over by these crazy socialist communists. And the medium 1950 Democrats need to wake up and jump out of that party because they are taking America down. And we have one more vote, basically. And even though it's a dirty vote, but if we overwhelm all of our states, the whole country, get behind to turn this country around. Otherwise, you know, every dollar you send to China is a bullet that's going to come back at us or a virus that they're going to drop on the country.
Yeah, it's amazing when you consider how many people are not awake while they proclaim themselves to be so woke, Tom. I mean, again, there's a difference in being, quote, woke and being awake, and as you point out, America needs to wake up to the reality of how we are literally on the verge of losing our country. And when you do, you can't get it back. We've seen that in history. When you lose your country, you cannot take it back, and we're on that verge of losing it permanently. And the Democrats, the left, have destroyed so many of our institutions that were once respected. I mean, the FBI had some of the highest respect you could imagine, but that's been lost because they decided to get all political and politicize themselves and go woke. The military, just this week, you had Republicans questioning Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, and they were proclaiming themselves completely unaware that these drag shows and drag story times were taking place on military bases. You know, they know. They've been pushing this diversity woke agenda with our military while our military are trying to make sure they're using the right pronouns. The Chinese military and others are learning how to kill people and blow things up. And our guys are more concerned about, I guess, whether they can get the little pink triangle medal on their chest of medals. I mean, you look at Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Guy has like 10 rows of medals. The guy looks like a South American dictator. When you look at Dwight Eisenhower, who won World War II, I think he had about 3 rows of medals. I mean, these guys are giving themselves medals for, you know, going into the DFAC, the dining facility, and getting extra dessert.
Yeah, I don't know if these guys have been bought off by China or what, but they know what the hell they're doing. They know they got an open border, and they're refusing to do anything to stop it. They know what works with what Trump did on the border. And the kicker is, all the illegals and everybody that's letting in on the border, that's just driving down the working people's wage. So the lower income people are going to get less money. And so you got to turn it around, get energy pumping. The Federal Reserve guy has to shout at Biden, say, you know, we got to start pumping oil, gas, all the energy that will drive the price down and take away the money from Russia. You know, get on it.
Yeah, and take a look at what, when we're energy independent, it diminishes the power of the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, and others to dictate policies to us because we're desperate for gas. It dictates the policies that China and Russia have to follow because we can do what we want because we're going to have the financial and economic clout to once again regain our footing. And until we do that, you know, we're going to continue to be the mockery of the world. Tom, thanks for your call. Appreciate your listening. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. We'll be back with more of your calls and comments in one moment at 844-747-8868. And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. As always, you can go to Todd's Twitter feed, at Todd Starnes. Find links to stories he's posting and commenting about. You can also go to my Twitter feed, at The Gill Report. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. He should be back in action Monday and out of the hospital and feeling much better. But still, it just takes a little while. But he's doing better. Was actually in a little while ago. Got a chance to catch up with him. And he appreciates all your thoughts and prayers and the sentiments that you're vibing his way. So we appreciate that as well. Join us on the phone lines at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up at the top of the hour in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk with Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton. There was an insurrection at the Tennessee State Capitol yesterday led by 3 radical leftist activists who are legislators who were literally exhorting a crowd to engage in insurrection, in actual violence, to enter the chamber illegally. Using a bullhorn, shouting, no justice, no peace, no action, no peace, supposedly there to defend transgenders and the failure of the legislature to take away guns. We're going to talk with Cameron Sexton about that in about 12 minutes. Should these legislators be expelled? And they're doubling down. They're not apologizing. They're not showing any remorse over their activities in violation of various House rules and literally creating an insurrection in the House, no remorse. Should they be expelled? The House Speaker Cameron Sexton also indicating earlier today that he may support red flag laws that would allow taking guns from those who are judged mentally ill. There are already laws that should prevent them from getting guns if they're mentally ill. Buying a gun is illegal. Sort of like Hunter Biden buying a gun while he was on drugs, but he didn't get prosecuted. You have folks that are under doctor's care who are mentally ill that have guns and purchase guns and just lie on the form. Who gets prosecuted? So should we have red flag laws that if somebody is under a doctor's care for mental illness, that their guns get taken if they already have them and that they're on a list required perhaps with doctors to report anybody under care for mental illness to have to record that and report that to the police so they can't buy a gun after they're under that medical treatment. We're going to talk with Cameron Sexton, the Tennessee House Speaker, about all that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let's go to Mark in Tennessee, listening on KWAM. Mark, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show.
How you doing? We're praying for Todd Starnes. Hope he gets well.
He's doing great.
Hospital soon. Okay.
It's nothing a few biscuits and gravy can't cure.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Tell him what we're praying for. I vote for Trump since 2015. I'm still with Trump, standing for Trump. All these illegal investigations from the Russian hoax to the Mueller to the impeachment, the TDS, Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, man, he lives in their head rent-free, doesn't he? We're going to talk more about it in the next hour. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. Don't go away. We got more to come.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's a-
Todd Starnes.
Well, it's not Todd, but I'm still a Bible-clinging, gun-owning American. Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes today. He's still recovering from his illness, but should be back in full action on Monday. And I know he's anxious to get back. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to dissect. And, man, he's chomping at the bit. If you want to hear or find some of his comments, go to @ToddStarnes on Twitter. @ToddStarnes on Twitter. You can also find links to some of the stories that we're talking about and my comments @TheGillReport on Twitter. Yesterday in the Tennessee legislature, three activist legislators, they're really more activists than legislator. They have no interest in passing legislation or finding solutions for Tennessee. They're there to draw attention to themselves, to show their radicalized approach to things. They exhorted students and adults who had been brought into attendance by three radical groups had filled the gallery. And while these three legislators were exhorting the crowd to chant, no justice, no peace, no action, no peace, encouraging them to invade and enter the chamber, which Tennessee state troopers were able to hold them off, literally a physical confrontation with these folks trying to enter the chamber. A riot being caused by these legislators from the floor of the House. They were not able to enter the chamber because the state troopers did their job. I think one maybe did, and they were able to get them out. It was a display of a real insurrection being mobilized by these three radical Democrat liberal extremist legislators. And the question now is, what happens next? House Speaker Cameron Sexton is with us on the Newsmakers line. Cam, good to have you with us.
Hey, it's good to be here, Steve. It's good to talk to you again.
Had to be one of the more interesting days in the legislature, this session or any other one.
I don't think we've ever had a day like that in the history, and we've had a lot of protests, as you know, over the years. So,
yeah, at least when we were horn-honking to stop a state income tax, we stayed outside or gathered in the hallways. We didn't try to enter the actual chamber and have to be repelled by state troopers. And my understanding is that some of these activists were actually spitting on legislators. I think Paul Sherrill may have been one of those who was spat upon.
Representative Sherrill, Representative Hawk, there were many. And let me just tell you, though, imagine the income tax days and three members standing up and going to the well without being recognized, pulling out a bullhorn and starting to energize with chants and other callings to those in the gallery. And what would have happened to those individuals under that leadership at that time? And what they were doing is they were trying to incite others to insurrect, revolt, rebellion against authority, which is the definition of insurrection.
And at the time that, again, they were brandishing this bullhorn from the well of the House, chanting no justice, no peace, no action, no peace, they were wanting to force, I guess, confiscation of guns and some sort of a embrace of the transgender agenda, the activist violent transgender agenda, just days after a transgender murdered six innocent people, including three children in Tennessee.
Well, also the people who were outside. First, let me just say, Steve, there were people there who were there for the right reasons who were being very peaceful. But then you have people who did not want to be peaceful. And that's what usually happens when you start with a protest and it becomes a riot, then it becomes a mob. But the people who were out there in the chamber and in the gallery, they were holding up seven fingers, meaning that there were seven victims on Monday. They were saying that the transgender female, or the female as I call her, was a victim who shot those individuals.
Well, and again, the Biden administration doing the same thing. And again, you had this transgender day of vengeance that was scheduled yesterday for tomorrow that's now been canceled suddenly because of, quote, safety concerns. This radicalized approach to transgenderism is creating a false story about the Tennessee legislature, you know, whether it's claiming that legislation is preventing drag shows. Not the truth. It's preventing drag shows that are sexually provocative in front of young children. Not banning transgenders, but banning transgender surgeries on young children. Why can't they at least argue and debate the issue, Cameron, based on truth rather than having to lie about it?
Because they don't want to debate, because they know they lose. What they want to do is use their bully pulpit, to use their social media, to use the media to try to tell you how wrong you are, and then mobilize their forces to send you all this hate email, hate messages, talking about how mean you are, how you're, that drag shows are not bad. They're very family friendly. That a person, and here's where it gets really hypocritical. What they will want to tell you is that someone who's 12 or 13 years old, they know what sex they want to be, that they're male, but they should be female. And then these same individuals will tell you that these juveniles who are committing crimes, well, they shouldn't be held accountable to the age of 25 because they don't know what they're doing is right or wrong.
Again, they don't want to debate the facts because they lose in a debate about the facts. You know, one of the interesting things that I noted earlier today is that these three rabble-rousers in the House that really, in my view, they're not serious legislators. They're activists purporting to be legislators. Last week, there was a bill that would allow law enforcement to provide security at private schools, like Covenant School, where this shooting occurred. And these three individuals that were leading this protest while claiming that Republicans hate children and aren't protecting children, I guess only trans children, aren't protecting them from guns, they voted against that legislation that would provide security at a school just like Covenant School.
Yeah, it's shocking that they would vote against the bill and then come out and say that we're not doing anything to help children in school. And so we're going to go back and look at a lot of different things. We do SR funding, mental health treatments, that sort of stuff, and talk about a lot of issues. But the hypocrisy of people not holding them accountable for how they vote and how they talk and what they do. And when you have three individuals who break the quorum, who disrupt a public proceeding in the House and come into the well without being recognized, pull out a bullhorn and start the process. And then, Steve, on top of it, you have leadership on the other side of the aisle that said point blank to the media, oh, these three individuals, they don't need to be disciplined. And if they are, we're going to fight to protect them.
Well, and they're also showing no remorse. I don't know if you've seen Justin Jones' Twitter feed today. I mean, he's basically calling you out, and they're doubling down on this. They're not showing any respect for the House, any respect for procedures, or the fact that they were literally trying to incite a riot. They're not showing any contriteness. They're doubling down.
They are. They're sitting there saying, I mean, they use the words, we're going to occupy. We occupied the House floor. We took control of the House floor. That is revolt. That is rebellion. That is them doing what other movements, what other resistance, what other riots started out as. And so they showed no remorse. They played the victim card. They want you to believe that we're at fault for them acting like this on the House floor, because that's how they live their life. When you have two community activists who are elected to public office, how do you think they're going to act when they come on the House floor? And so in our history, we have never acted like this. And for the people of Memphis, you have Lois DeBerry and Barbara Cooper, who would have never put up with this from people inside their party if they were still in the General Assembly. And for that side of the aisle not to do anything, basically what they're telling the world is, we can't control our own caucus members.
Well, then, if they're not going to be serious legislators, you know, those with a D next to their name, they shouldn't be taken seriously. What can be done for these three that were literally fomenting an insurrection from the House floor? I think it takes 66 votes to expel them from the legislature. Will there be a move to do that?
There's a lot of members that we're going through on that process. So there's a lot of things that we can do. Expulsion is one of them. There's a process laid out. If we go that route, we have to follow the process. There's censure. There is things that I can do, remove them from committees. And what I will tell you, Steve, it will be a combination of stuff with probably a final act at the end that they really don't want. But we're still going through that. We're making sure we're collecting all the videos of everything. We're dotting everything. We're treating this like how the Democrats treated the insurrection of January 6th. And if Democrats want to say that was, then this is just as equivalent as what happened up there.
When you look at the confrontation they were doing with the state troopers, I mean, they were assaulting law enforcement officers, and yet nobody was arrested.
Right.
They were spitting on legislators, and yet nobody was arrested. If I do that, that's an assault, and I guarantee I'd be arrested in a heartbeat. If I physically confronted a state trooper, and this is not Justin Jones' first time to have done that. He confronted and wrestled with a police officer at a Marsha Blackburn event years ago, and basically got a pass on that. So it just keeps giving these people an idea that they can do whatever they want because nobody's going to do anything to them.
Well, Justin Jones, before he became a state rep, he was the one who led the riots in Nashville that knocked out the windows at the Ryman. He got charged with destroying police cars. He was arrested 14 times. The problem is the DA never tried to charge him or convict him of anything.
Now, can the Attorney General prosecute these folks since it was on state property? Do you have to depend on Nashville DA Glenn Funk, or can Jonathan Scrimeti as the Attorney General prosecute these folks?
That's something we have to look at in the future. But the year and a half ago, it was the troopers in Metro would arrest, and it would go to the DA in Nashville, who would not do anything, even though multiple times he told us he would. And so
Justin Jones is also the guy that threw the cup of coffee at legislators in a elevator when Glenn Cassidy was the speaker.
That's right. That's right. And what I will tell you is what these three individuals wanted to do on the House floor is after they looked at their leadership and they go, well, when are they going to arrest us? And they go, they're not going to arrest you because they're not going to have the spectacle that you want them to do. They wanted to be arrested. They wanted to be handcuffed. And they wanted to walk out into that student population. And so we didn't give them that capability. They wanted us to adjourn so that we would quit what we're doing and open the door so that the mob could come into the chamber and overpower the troopers, which we weren't going to do. And so when they realized they weren't going to get what they wanted, they decided to stop. And they're going to continue to do this.
Yeah, they're saying they're coming back Monday.
They're coming back Monday. And so we're going to remain strong. We're going to continue to do this. And we're going to hold them accountable for their actions. I know that for a fact.
Cameron, would it be appropriate to tell the Democratic caucus that as long as they tolerate this among their members, as long as they don't discipline their members in their caucus, that no Democrat bill is going to be heard, no Democrat motion is going to be heard? If they're not going to be serious legislators, they shouldn't be taken seriously.
They will tell you that they can't control their caucus. That's what they will tell you.
Well, if they maybe the House will take that burden off of them.
That's right. They're going to force the Republicans and the Republican caucus to hold them accountable because they're unwilling to do it. And this has been escalating for months. The listeners don't need to think that this was an isolated incident with these three individuals. This has been building, and they've been building this and been out of order and not doing what they should be doing as members for months.
Well, it's time for them to pay the price, and hopefully your caucus will make sure they pay a serious price for a serious violation of not just House rules, but again, a real insurrection, not the fake one on January 6th. Cameron Sexton, Tennessee House Speaker, great to talk with you again, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
We'll see you soon, Steve. Bye.
This is the Todd Starnes Show. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd, and he is feeling much better. Should be back in action next week. In the meantime, he's going to join us with a little breaking news. Todd, welcome to your show.
Well, it's great to be on my show. Thanks for taking my call, Steve. First time caller from Memphis.
Long time listener.
Long time listener. Well, I really don't listen to myself, so that's kind of weird.
You listen to the voices in your head. That's sort of the same thing.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, you know, it's been one of these crazy news days, and I'm so glad to hear you talking about what happened at the Tennessee State House. You know, this has been happening in other state houses around the nation, you know, usually in places like Wisconsin and Minnesota. But here in Tennessee, what I think needs to happen, Steve, is that these Democrat lawmakers who disrupted and tried to incite the riot, they do need to be expelled. And it's I think it's high time to see the supermajority of Republicans who control the state house wield the hammer. And let's show folks that we mean business and we're not going to be bullied.
You know, I think, frankly, and I'm a huge fan of Speaker Cam Sexton, I think, frankly, this is a pivotal moment for him. He has reportedly some ambitions of possibly running for governor after Bill Lee, the current Tennessee governor, ends his second term and his term limited out. I think if he is strong and forceful in his response, he makes himself the front runner. I think if there is a weak response by him and his caucus, I think that damages him.
And I appreciate the elder statesmen of the Democrat Party, those black lawmakers from Memphis who stood up and really got in the faces of those young lawmakers. And I mean, the video was really startling to see them, and they were getting in their faces and literally dragging them off the floor of the House. I mean,
yeah, Karen Camper, I think, was one of the ones that, she looked like an angry mom. Not an angry mob.
I thought somebody was going to take off his belt.
That's what they really need. If there'd been more belt whippings on those legislators when they were younger, they probably wouldn't have been misbehaving like they did yesterday.
I think you're right. It was fascinating. But again, I think this goes to show, once again, that divide. Because in the Memphis area, Democrats are, by and large, very conservative socially on a lot of the big social issues. They are not progressives. But what we're watching now are these younger people coming out, the AOC types. And these people are even to the left of AOC. And it was really fascinating to watch that play out. I was more intrigued by the Democrat versus Democrat than I was really the at-large thing that was happening. But
and Todd, as an aside to that, you mentioned the black community in Memphis. In particular, I mean, the black community has long been the targets of judicial bias. Will the Trump indictment help him, particularly in the black community, in your view, of people say, look, they've come after us, and I'm now with him because he's now experiencing what we've experienced?
It could be, and I'd be curious to hear from a lot of our black listeners. You know, we have a very large and diverse listening audience on our flagship station, KWAM, in Memphis, and I suspect that could be the case. You know, going back to some of the things that Trump did when he was president, you know, where he commuted a lot of sentences and things of that nature.
Historically, and, black colleges getting long-term funding.
I mean, he really did go above and beyond to serve and deliver on those campaign promises he made to the black community. So it could be, but by and large, I think that Alvin Bragg indictment, I read a headline where even George Soros is backing away. I mean, how screwed up do you have to be where even George Soros doesn't want to have anything to do with you?
Now, by the way, you've got some breaking news for our friends at Liberty University.
Yeah, this is pretty exciting news. Liberty's been searching for a new president since the scandal involving Jerry Falwell Jr. And just a few moments ago, Liberty announced they have selected a new president. The vote was unanimous. And I think this is a great hire. His name is Major General, retired, Don D. Costin. He was the former chief of chaplains for the U.S. Air Force.
Wow.
Most recently, and he served the Air Force for 32 years, retired as Major General, and was most recently president of Charleston Southern University. So I think that's a strong move for Liberty University.
What a fantastic news. Thanks for breaking that. And it's good to hear your voice, my friend. I know folks are missing you, and we'll be anxious to hear you next week.
And thanks for all those great prayers. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Todd. And we'll be back. Liz Harrington, a Trump spokesman, joins us for her comments on the Trump indictment when we come back for more of the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. As usual, go to at Todd Starnes on Twitter. You'll find links to some of the comments and stories that Todd is sharing. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. You can find my links at the Gill Report, at the Gill Report on Twitter. And, of course, the big news of the day has been our discussion about Donald Trump being indicted by this hack political partisan in Manhattan. The case is thin. The justification is worse. But the Democrats, they're cheering, man. They think this is awesome. I just posted on Twitter a few moments ago some of the headlines across the country. Trump indicted. That's what they wanted. And they want the mugshot. But I think that'll be the last victory they get in this sordid tale of injustice. Joining us to help sort it out, Liz Harrington is one of President Trump's spokespersons. And Liz, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What a busy last 24 hours.
You know, it's really, really sad. And it's something that, you know, you really just can't even believe would happen in the United States of America. But yet, here we are. I mean, this is how corrupt our country has become. And, you know, you just when you think they can't go worse and go lower, they do. So we're fighting, and President Trump's completely innocent, and, you know, we're hanging in there.
You know, because you know the president so well personally, I mean, I know he's putting on a strong face, as he always does, because he's a strong guy. But personally, the constant assaults, the constant attacks, it has to wear on him. And having been in politics a long time myself, the family, they're not in the arena swinging. So it's even harder on Melania, and I know his kids are tough. It's got to be tough on him to see his family having to suffer through the attacks on him.
Well, exactly. And really, it's amazing because nobody's been through more, and yet his main concern is for the country. You know, he's like, I'm fine. You know, he's fine. But it's so sick because the toll it does take on his family. I mean, this is a great family. They are amazing people, and they love this country. And they've sacrificed a lot, gave up, you know, really nice life. They never had to do any of this. And it was all because, you know, President Trump saw what was happening to America and said, you know, I want to enter the arena. I can do some good. And turn this country around. And he did. He did. And I mean, he was so successful. And that's why they just can't stand him so much. I mean, he's a threat to their corrupt power. And no one else could withstand this scrutiny. No one else could have a microscope under their entire life, the whole family, the business, you know, the everything. And yet, be so squeaky clean that they have to literally invent crime. You know, they tried to frame him with Russia. They spied on his campaign. They had to invent false allegations. And now they're twisting the law to try to invent a crime that is totally baseless, totally lawless. And they're not just doing it in New York. They're attacking his constitutional rights with a sham special prosecutor in D.C. and the Georgia DA down in Atlanta. It's the same thing. They're going after our constitutional rights here, and that they're trying to take out their number one political opponent who's leading in all the polls. I mean, that's what this is about. And they want to further cement their power and authority, this corrupt ruling class. And they cannot allow President Trump, who is not, it's not just about him. He represents tens and tens and tens of millions of Americans. That's what this is about. They will do this to him because they want to do it to all of us.
If they can do it to him, they can do it to anybody, as has been pointed out. You know, one of the fascinating things to me as a lawyer is how weak this case is. But even as Alan Dershowitz and others have pointed out, no self-respecting DA would build a case with their two key witnesses being a convicted liar perjurer in Michael Cohen and a woman who lost a slander suit and has basically been convicted of lying, owes President Trump $300,000 for the failure of her slander case. You wouldn't build a case on two absolutely adjudicated liars.
You wouldn't do it. And it just shows that they're so desperate. They have no shame and they're desperate. I mean, why else? You couldn't do it. Crime in New York City is skyrocketing. I mean, it's unsafe on the streets, and they let out the real criminal. They let them out. It's a revolving door. They just go in and out of jail. They don't stay. They don't lock them up. And yet here, they lower felonies to misdemeanors. And yet here, they're inventing a crime, which is actually, it's so egregious, because really what they're saying is, if President Trump did the opposite, right? You know, if he should have used personal fund or campaign funds for a personal dispute to settle a nuisance claim. I mean, that would be illegal. It's insane. They're turning the rule of law upside down and then knocking that, which would be a misdemeanor. Again, there's no crime. President Trump's completely innocent. He never even had an affair with this woman. And yet they're taking that, but the statute of limitations run out as a misdemeanor. They're going to knock that up to a felony. This is lawlessness.
With a city DA trying to prosecute a federal crime that the FEC decided wasn't worth, they didn't even fine him. When Hillary Clinton essentially did the same thing by buying the Steele dossier, she got fined. The FEC, Federal Election Commission, examined this. They didn't even fine Donald Trump. The DOJ wouldn't prosecute him. The previous DA in Manhattan, Cyrus Vance, wouldn't prosecute him. And yet this DA is pursuing this partisan political hack job solely to answer to George Soros, who now is claiming, I don't even know the guy.
Yeah, well, he apparently doesn't know a lot of guys in these DA offices that are totally perverting the law. They're going after political opponents. They're letting criminals back out on the streets. I mean, they're destroying America at every single city that has one of these DAs. It's so corrupt, and it's making us a third world country. And sadly, that is officially what we are. When you have a nation that invents crimes to lock up their number one political opponent, that's what you are. You're a banana republic. You're not a constitutional republic, because you're not ruled by law anymore. You're ruled by very corrupt men.
You got to love all the issues facing our country. We're spending billions on the losing side in Ukraine. We've got millions of illegals coming across the border. The economy is in a shambles. Inflation is hammering middle class and everybody. Gas prices are exorbitant because we won't drill our own fuel. And the Democrats' answer is indict Trump.
It's sick. It really is. We've got bank failures. We've got everything you just mentioned. They're marching us into World War III. And, you know, that's honestly what this is really all about. Who is the one person who will put a stop to all of that? That gravy train of corruption, the endless wars, the horrible trade deals, the open borders, the lack of energy independence. President Donald J. Trump put a stop to all of that. He put a stop to it, and he made America strong. That's the last thing they want. They do not want the American people to be able to choose who leads them. That's what this is. They'll never do it again. It got away from them in 2016. They said, we're never going to let it happen again.
Yeah, you have to laugh, Liz. In 2016, they were saying, we want to run against Trump, and they got what they asked for. They're saying this indictment will make Trump the nominee. We want to run against Trump. It's like, y'all were wrong the first time you asked for that.
No, and, you know, they're showing that they do not want to run against Donald J. Trump, because the only way to beat him is to cheat massively or to arrest him on sham charges. I mean, it's so preposterous. He is their number one threat. I mean, does anyone think that this would be happening if he would, you know, went back to Mar-a-Lago and said, you know, I've had a nice life, I'm retiring? No, this wouldn't be happening. It's happening because he's running again. He's leading in all the polls, and he's going to fight to save America and turn this country around. And he's the only one who has the courage to do it.
Liz, he's a real estate guy. Can he send them a bill for living rent-free in their heads all this time? I mean, that
he probably should pay for some of these, you know, legal fees, because it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, that's what this is. It's election interference. I mean, they've harassed our campaign so much. They've harassed him and his family for 7 years now, and they've never found a single thing. They've had to invent crimes. They've had to invent, you know, legal theories. It's a sham, and the people see through it, and the people are ultimately going to be victorious in all of this.
I know you're focused on this bogus indictment and the policy issues, but talk to me a moment about politics. does this, as many believe, guarantee him the Republican nomination and maybe guarantee him a pretty clean shot back into the White House?
I mean, I as far as I've seen it, you know, everyone's like, who are these other candidates? It's totally irrelevant. Because if people see it, they see there's only one reason why they're attacking President Trump so much. Because he's the only one that can get the job done. He's the only one who has popular support among so many different race and different religions and everything else. I mean, it's been incredible that the people he's brought into the Republican Party, there's no one else. And the more they come after him, it exposes anybody that was thinking, you know, I don't know, you know, about it now. They're saying he's our guy.
Yeah.
He's our guy because he fights for the American people.
Do you think guys like Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott and the others that are considering running or have indicated that they plan to run, do you think that they will look at the numbers, look at the situation, and say, look, you know, it was a steep enough climb before, but now's the time for us all to unify, not tolerate what's being done to President Trump, and let's band together and focus on the real enemy, which are the folks in the White House and the Democratic Party that are literally destroying our country.
Right. If they were smart politically, they would have never even thought about running. They know President Trump is going to win, but even more so, it's not even about that. This is exposing just how evil and corrupt the system is right now. We all need to band together. It's not about Republicans or Democrats, independents. I mean, it's about the American people that have to try to, you know, save this country from really an authoritarian regime that wants to take political power and wield it against anyone, because that's exactly what they'll do. So that's what they should be looking at. They should really, for once, forget about party, put their country first and say, we need to unite and band together and save America.
I talked earlier today with Congressman Barry Moore, 2nd District, Alabama, Montgomery area, who was falsely accused and acquitted of a crime by those that were trying to pick the Republican nominee by accusing him, charging him with a crime. I asked him what his advice would be, having experienced it, to President Trump. And he said, look, President Trump needs to know that they had more volunteers, more donors, and more support after their bogus charges against them, that ultimately he was acquitted, and that President Trump will see the same exact thing. Hang in there, be tough, and know that the American people are going to rally to his side.
Absolutely. And the people, we've already seen it. They were lining up last night outside Mar-a-Lago. You know, when they raided his home unjustly, I mean, that was another Rubicon that was crossed. And the more they do this, the more they unjustly wield this corrupt power, the more people are waking up, the more people see what's going on, while their standard of living is suffering, while their dollar is declining, while their gas prices are going up, while they're being told that they have to send their sons and daughters to fight in a war when our border to over somebody else's border when our border's wide open. No, the American people are saying enough, and the corruption is being exposed. So the people are rallying behind him, and President Trump is not deterred. He's going to keep fighting. And we are all behind him, and more Americans are every single day.
Liz Harrington, Trump spokesman. Tell him to hang in there. We appreciate you, and we'll Absolutely. Catch up with you again soon.
So great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. He will be back on Monday. In the meantime, we got another segment open for your phone lines. What do you think about the Trump indictment? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Carrying you into the weekend, this is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. As always, go to his Twitter account, at Todd Starnes. You'll find links to some of the comments he's posting there. You can find mine at The Gill Report, at The Gill Report. And always encourage your comments and sharing your views as well. By the way, it's more important than ever to support companies and organizations that share our values. When you're seeing what's happening with this indictment of President Trump, everything's on the line. But Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile actually donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. So switch to Patriot Mobile now. Use the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D, to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage, uses the same towers that other carriers use, so you're going to be in contact. They also have plans to fit any budget along with great discounts, particularly for veterans and first responders. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount, free premier activation by using the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. Find out more at patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And be sure to do that today. Don't waste your time because you're going to be wasting your money if you're not using Patriot Mobile. We've been talking a little bit about the whole Trump indictment, and we've got time to take one last quick call before we head into the weekend. And Matt in North Carolina, you're next on the Todd Starnes Show.
Hello, Mr. Gill.
Hey.
I think this indictment of Trump is disgusting. They've been chasing him for 7 years now, right? And nothing sticks. Well, the case is very weak, I'm told, because I'm on talk radio a lot. And furthermore, look what the Biden crime syndicate is getting away with. Hunter Biden bought a gun illegally and never got charged for that.
And one of the members of Congress was asking the ATF folks earlier this week if it's still a violation of the law to lie about drug use or your mental illness. And the ATF had said, yes, it's a 15-year prison sentence. And the congressman said, well, then why isn't Hunter Biden in jail? And the guy, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, geez. What a mess this country's in, sir.
Well, hopefully we'll see President Trump ride this wave. Again, I think this is like creating a tsunami that President Trump can jump on his surfboard and just ride that wave right to the Republican primary win and probably back into the White House. But we'll see. Matt, thanks for listening in North Carolina, WTKF. We appreciate all our North Carolina listeners, and we'll see if President Trump can ride that wave. One of the other things as we head into next week, President Trump will likely face the court being charged, having to do his not guilty plea, probably Tuesday. So again, the actions, the activity, all the consternation. I mean, the weekend shows are going to be full of analysis. You've already had the View ladies sharing their inept, ridiculous comments yesterday. We have a little bit. Here's a little bit about the View ladies. I mean, you want to hear stupidity on parade. Here you go.
Donald Trump finally won a popular vote yesterday. The grand jury voted to indict him. You know, I was thinking last night, boy, because I was reading this article where Ivanka and Jared apparently want to start their new life in Miami, and I was thinking, you know, they now can give their children the distinction of having matching mugshots for their both of their grandfathers.
Yeah.
You can pick whether you want Charlie.
Be careful what you laugh about, ladies, because, you know, these are the same ones that have been saying, we got him now for 7 years. You know, some of the left are saying that he's no longer the Teflon Don. It's all going to stick to him. They've been saying that for 7 years. He's still Teflon Don. He's going to float past this. This guaranteed him the Republican nomination, in my view, and may very well guarantee that the View ladies are going to go absolutely wildly crazy. Their heads will explode when they have to once again refer to him as President Trump. You have a great weekend. Todd should be back Monday.